Tonight I'd like to look at a passage in Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, the first eight verses of that chapter. But beginning in chapter 52 of Isaiah, Isaiah there begins foretelling of the Messiah to come and the blessings that he will bring. In fact, if you back up to Isaiah 52 and verses 5 and 6, this is where he begins this, and he talks the next several chapters about the coming Messiah. In Isaiah 52, verses 5 and 6, he says, "Now therefore, what do I hear, saith Jehovah, seeing that my people is taken away for naught, that they that rule over them do howl, saith Jehovah, and my name continually all the day is blasphemed." Then verse 6, "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I." So this is what God is going to do. This he introduces what God is going to do. And he goes through the next several chapters talking about the coming Messiah. I want to look in chapter 56, though. First eight verses there, because he brings out an interesting blessing there in those few verses. If you'll follow along with me in the beginning of Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8, there he says, "Thus saith Jehovah, keep my justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that holdeth it fast, that keepeth the Sabbath from profaning it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the foreigner that hath joined himself to Jehovah speak, saying, Jehovah will surely separate me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith Jehovah of the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant, unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the foreigners that join themselves to Jehovah, to minister unto him, and to love the name of Jehovah, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from profaning it, and holdeth fast my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." In verse 8, "The Lord Jehovah who gathereth the outcasts of Israel saith, Yet will I gather others to him besides his own that are gathered." It's an interesting blessing there. He directs it towards eunuchs and foreigners specifically. And if you'll remember, in the ancient Middle Eastern culture, family was a big deal. Without a family, there was no one to receive an inheritance, and the family name would not continue. And of course, for a eunuch, he could not have a family. And also, the eunuch did not have access to the house of God. He was prohibited from coming to the house of God. And likewise, the foreigner did not have an inheritance among the Israelites, and was excluded from the house of God as well. These two groups of people were excluded from the blessings of being an Israelite. But now in this passage in Isaiah, with the coming Messiah, he says the eunuch will have, in verse 5, he says, a memorial and a name better than of sons and of daughters. He can't have sons and daughters. Not physically, but he'll have a memorial and a name better than that. And this memorial, he says, look in verse 5, this memorial was to be, what he says, in my house and within my walls, somewhere a eunuch could not go. And he will have an everlasting name and shall not be cut off. He will have an everlasting name. So this is a very important promise here. And then likewise, in this passage, we see the foreigner, says he will be made joyful, and their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon his altar. Now, foreigner could not bring a sacrifice to the house of God. He was forbidden from entering the house of God, like the Israelites were. So this is an interesting blessing for both of these groups of people. And it's an amazing promise of encouragement and hope that that would motivate obedience for those who were outcast and separated from any inheritance and the rest of society. Now let's look at, jump forward to the New Testament in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, in verses 30 through 33, we have a familiar story of an Ethiopian eunuch. And he's reading from, guess where? It was Isaiah 53, right in the middle of this section in Isaiah talking about the coming Messiah. And we know that Isaiah 53 is talking about the suffering Messiah, the suffering Savior. And in Acts 8, verses 30 through 33, he says there, Philip ran to him, this is to the eunuch, and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except someone shall guide me? And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. His generation who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. Now, Philip, it says in verse 35, and Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. He began at that scripture he was reading. Now, we don't know exactly what Philip told him, but I think it's very possible in the context of Isaiah 53, very possible that Philip read Isaiah 56 to him, showing him how this the promise of this Messiah and the promise to eunuchs and foreigners, of which he was both, he was a eunuch and a foreigner, how the promise of Isaiah 56 is fulfilled in Jesus. Is it any wonder then he stopped the chariot and asked if there was anything hindering him from being baptized? This passage gave him a hope that he never had before. And now he has Philip telling him, this one who was prophesied is Jesus. He has come. So in Jesus, he not only found the hope he could never have, he had someone to identify with as well. Jesus was a servant. He was never married or had children. He was, as Isaiah said, cut off out of the land of the living. And that's in verse 8 of 53. Yet despite his suffering, he made his life an offering for sin, and God allowed him to see his offspring through his resurrection. That's Isaiah 53 and verse 10. I think then it's no wonder that in Acts 8 and verse 39, it says, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Now this should be a great encouragement to us, because basically we're foreigners. We're not of the house of Israel. We are foreigners. And to us as foreigners who want to be joined to God, we can become part of his family, God's family. We can enjoy an inheritance with him that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us, according to 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. Let's also look at Ephesians, the second chapter. It has this idea of strangers and inheritance and hope. In Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 12, Ephesians 2, 12 and 13, it says, And ye were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye that once were far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. So here we see that as foreigners, separated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants, as he says, we had no hope. But now in Christ, we are made near. We're not far off as we once were. And down in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, so then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So here that promise that was made in Isaiah applies to us as well. Also, in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, says, but ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is speaking of those who were not a part of Israel. When it says in time past were no people, that means they weren't a people like the people of God. But now we are the people of God. And before had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. All because of Jesus and what he has done for us. And the hope that the eunuch now had when he heard the word is the same hope that we can have. We can rejoice in that hope. In Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 says, being just therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we labor and strive through difficulties because of that hope. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 8 through 10. Here Paul says, for bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life which now is and of that which is to come. Verse 9, faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation. Verse 10, for this is the end we labor, for to this end we labor and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is a savior of all men, especially of them that believe. So we see that we have this hope, and we can labor and strive through our difficulties because of this hope. And it's this hope that the eunuch had and that we have that gives us encouragement in obedience. It gives us hope in suffering, and it gives us joy in everyday life. So the question is, are you obeying? Think on the promise of Jesus. Are you suffering? Put your hope in Jesus. Are you living with joy? Think on Jesus. Obey his will, and joy will come. Just remember that promise that was made back in Isaiah to those who were outcast, those who had no hope. Isaiah said hope was coming. And now we know the hope has come, and we can have that same hope. If you're here this evening and you need to come to God and in obedience to his will, if you have never been obedient to him, you want to come now and be a part of that and have that hope, be a part of that nation that has that hope, be a part of the household of God, and you can come do that this evening. If you are have strayed away from the truth and want to come back, you can do that tonight. If you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to come while we stand and sing.